I didn't say yay. I think I want to go to Mark 4. I got all this stuff and all these different translations, and maybe Beth's got them all. I have a Bible. It's got 6 different translations in that one Bible I was going to bring, and I actually forgot it. So Beth has tried to do my different translations. We'll see how good that works. But if you got your Bible, let's look at Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verse 20, because we have been over and over all the rest of them. But here in verse 20, what did we do, the Amplified on that one? So if you don't have an Amplified, Beth will try to put all of them up on the screen. It says, "And those sown on the good ground, well-adapted soil, are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit. Some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much." Now skip on down to verse 26. Jesus talking, and he said, "The kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground, and then continues sleeping and rising night and day while the seed sprouts and grows and increases. He knows not how. The earth produces, acting by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe and permits, immediately he sends forth the reapers." So see, I have noticed a lot of people, you can be real good at sowing, but a lot of people are not real good at reaping. They think it's just all left up to God. It comes when it comes. But that's not this scripture, is it? He says here, what verse was that, 29? "When the grain is ripe, immediately he sends forth the reapers and puts in the sickle, because the harvest stands ready." Now let me see where I want to go after that. I looked up that word sickle in the Strong's Concordance, and it means to pluck, a gathering, or a hook. And the word hook, it means especially for harvesting. So we know, like, they used to have these, kind of like what they show is like the Grim Reaper had, you know, this long thing on a pole or whatever, and they just, for the wheat, they just did it like this. That's kind of like what he's talking about there. But how many knows, when we put in the reapers, according to scripture, angels are reapers. A lot of different a lot of different scriptures about angels being reapers. Whenever we get out of here, who's going to come and get us? The Bible says he's going to step out on the clouds, but he's going to send the angels from the four to the four corners of the earth, and what? Put in the harvest and reap us one day. Well, then the Bible also talks about how that angels is ministering spirits that are sent forth from God to minister to and for the heirs of salvation. Right? I believe that's what, in Psalms? Something like that. I didn't write it down. So he says you got to put in the sickle. When do you put in the sickle? How do you know when the harvest is ready? Number one, you're led to sow. Right? Whenever God started this whole thing, and it started me believing God for my brother and y'all, whatever you're believing for, whatever, the first thing he done was he brought the word to me of John 15:7. Y'all remember that word? He said, "If you abide in me and my word remains in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Right? Well, it takes faith to do that. It takes faith for me to come here and tell y'all. It took faith for me to plant the seed and have the word keep coming out of my mouth. Then we stand in patience, right, and causing endurance and steadfastness and all that. But then there's going to come a time that it is time to put in the sickle and reap my brother here. How do I know when to do that? You're led. The Spirit of God knows. Why? The Bible says here that how that first the blade, then the ear, the full corn in the ear and all that. But it says that the word increases, but we don't know how. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, I think it is. Let's go over to that right quick. Now in our study, we've read this one here several times, but I believe we'll see it in a little different light maybe this time. What I got here? 1 Corinthians 3, I think it's verse 6, just for time's sake. And this is in the Amplified. It says, remember they were squabbling about Apollos and Paul one was saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, and all that. And then we pick it up here with what Paul said. Verse 6, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase. Just like us, we take his word, we plant it in our hearts, and how many knows? You don't know how that's growing. Now, we plant the seed, we water it with the word of God, right? Y'all remember where all we went with this, right? Because y'all looking at me kind of funny. Well, it's God that gives the increase. And he knows whenever he increases it, he knows when the full harvest time has come. See, the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs how that the sluggard, they won't go out and get the harvest when it comes. We're not spiritual sluggards, amen? We're led when we sow. We're also led when we reap. Now, let me see where I want to go here. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 11, I think, is where I want to go. This will be in the Amplified. Ecclesiastes 11:1. We're going to read through verse 6. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, yes, even divide it to eight, for you know not what evil may come upon the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind and waits for all conditions to be favorable will not sow. And he who regards the clouds will not reap. Reaping is not up to God. Verse 5, it says, as you know not what is the way of the wind or how the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman. Now what that is referring to, just like he talked about the seed. You don't know how the seed grows. Can you tell me how the seed grows? Can you tell me how that the bones, how that the skin and all that is formed on a little baby inside of a pregnant woman? That's what he's saying there. He says, as you know not what is the way of the wind or how the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman, even so you know not the work of God who does all. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hands. For you know not which shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Now go back to verse 4. He says, he who observes the wind and waits for all conditions to be favorable will not sow. You cannot look at conditions whether or not you should sow. Y'all have heard and heard the story about the $2. Remember that we were supposed to give in that offering to that minister that time and go out and our gas gets pumped out on the ground and all that because we didn't give the $2. Why didn't we give the $2? Because we are observing the clouds. That's the last $2 we got. I don't know what I thought $2, how it was going to deliver us, but y'all know how that goes, right? The fear, looking at the conditions. He says there, if you look at the conditions of the wind and wait for all conditions to be favorable, you will not sow. Why? It takes faith to sow. That's why everybody don't do it. But then he goes on and he says, and he who regards the clouds, he says, he will not reap. Even though you may have sowed it in faith, how many knows, according to these scriptures that we're reading this morning, it takes faith for you to also reap because God doesn't do the reaping. God doesn't do the sowing. God doesn't do the reaping. God's part is the increasing. How that you sow a seed, I mean, the same is paralleled in the natural. You take one grain of seed, of corn, you put it in the ground, you make sure it gets water, fertilize everything that it needs. I'm not making it grow. The ground is making it grow. God is the one that's given the increase. Then when the full harvest time comes, you go out there and you pick it. And when you pick it, there's probably over 100 times more than the one kernel that you sow. God is the one that done that. God is the one that gave the increase. Everything that we sow it by faith. We're led of the Spirit of God, and God is the one gives the increase. And then he lets us know on the inside, right? Just like he lets you know when to sow, how much to sow, what to sow. And I'm not talking about just money. I mean, you can sow time. You can sow prayer. You can sow anything. But then God is the one that lets us know by His Spirit, because it has to be by faith, because according to Hebrews 11:6, there's nothing that we can do that is not by faith that can please God. So therefore, if we didn't reap by faith, then we couldn't be pleasing God in our reaping. Right? So we see we can't be looking at the clouds if we're going to sow. We've got to be led by the Spirit, regardless of what it looks like. Well, then also, you cannot be regarding the clouds or you won't reap. That word regard, let me look it up here. I got so much wrote down here. That word regardeth in the Hebrew, it means to see or consider. How many knows by faith does not see and it does not consider the natural? The Bible says that Abraham, whenever God promised him Isaac and all that, it said he considered not Sarah's body, right? He considered not that he was 100 years old and all that. What's that mean? He didn't look at it. It didn't matter. He didn't care. He wasn't persuaded by that. He's looking at what God said, what God promised. And by faith and patience, right, he inherited the promise of Isaac. Now, let's see where I want to go here, because I got a lot written down. I think I'm going to go to Galatians 6. I think. I hate it whenever God gives me messages like this. What I mean like this. There's times, and I'm just telling you this so you'll know. Nobody told me this stuff. I just had to learn it by experience. Did y'all hear Monty last week when he was up here and he said, Sister Teresa, I know now what you're talking about. This is not going like I thought it was going to. I can tell you that, but you really don't know what I'm talking about till you get up here and you experience it. See, he heard me say it, but then last week when you got up, you experienced it, didn't you, Monty? What's that mean? You got to do it by faith, because it ain't going the way you thought it was going to go. Well, just like this, there's times that God gives me a laid-out message. It's like it is line upon line, precept upon precept. It's exactly the way I got it wrote down and all that. Now, by faith, I got the message and all that, but then there's times I get them like this. It is like these scriptures are just all over the place, and I'm having to be led by when we read which one and all this other stuff. It takes faith to do that. There's nothing in the kingdom that doesn't take faith. Nothing. That's why my flesh don't like it when it's like these. Why my flesh likes it when it's all just drawn out. God doesn't always do it that way. Now, where did I tell y'all to go? Galatians 6, okay. Let me get over there. But that's just to help y'all when y'all start ministering, you know. Not that you don't minister already. And don't be laughing, because I'm telling you what we're going to get into is coming. It's going to put you way out of your comfort zone. Why? Faith always does. It's the flesh right out of its little comfort zone. Oh gosh, y'all have no idea when I first started doing Sunday school. If you could have seen me, you probably saw my knees knocking. And I still, there's times I get up here and I still feel nervousness at different times. But that's okay. Why? He's with me. Now here in Galatians chapter 6, for time's sake, we're going to start reading verse 7. This is going to be in the Amplified. It says, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. But now listen, you don't reap it the same way you sowed it. You might say it so one word in anger and you reap 2,500. Why? Because that ground always gives the increase, whether it's good or bad, that you put in it. And he goes on and he says, for he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Don't let that throw you and start thinking about heaven. That is not what he's talking about. We get receive eternal life now. What's that mean? It's the life of God flowing through us. He goes on and he says, and let us not lose heart, and grow weary, now Now, we've been talking about suffering. We've been talking about faith and patience, right, and endurance and steadfastness. He wouldn't put this in here if it didn't take all that. It says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. What's the next part? Oh, that's usually always longer than you wanted it to be. But he says, for in due time and at the appointed season, we shall be. There's always a time when you plant that you got to wait till you get to the season of harvest. Now, usually here in the state of Alabama, you know, you might plant your onions or a cabbage or something other, you know, like in March or late February or something like that. But how many knows you don't need to be planting okra in February or March? It won't even come up. Why? Because okra is one that the temperature has to be way on up there before it's even going to start cracking that shell open and sprouting in that ground. But then you got tomatoes and stuff like that that, you know, around April, sometime in April, maybe the second week or so, that you can plant your tomatoes. But how many knows you're not going to go out there the next day or the next week or even the next month and get a ripe tomato off of that? But he says here, what verse was that? Y'all remember? Verse 9. He says, and let us not lose heart. Y'all ain't losing heart, are you? Y'all still on what you've been on, right? Ever since we started this. And y'all ain't growing weary, are you? Because you can get tired waiting. You can get tired confessing. Now, not if you keep watering and hooking up and getting his presence and all that. He says, and you ain't fainting, are you? In acting nobly and doing right, for in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. So we have to make sure that that doesn't happen to us. Why? If that happens to you, you will not reap. Did you hear what I said? And see, I think a lot of us, I think we've had a lot of teaching and heard a lot about sowing, but I don't think we've had near as much about reaping. And God is saying it is time to reap the harvest. Now, I'm not telling you it's time to reap the harvest on what you've been leaving for. Only God can tell you that. Unless he told me, then I would tell you. He's not saying that. We'll get to that in just a few minutes of what he's talking about for this church. Now, so we see here there's an appointed time and a due season to reap. And God lets us know on the inside of us, right, when that time is. And when it is, we put in the sickle. What is the sickle? We'll get to that in just a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's look at let's look at Matthew 9. No, I don't want to look at that one. Hang on. What that John 4 is. I didn't like that one. Let me look at this right quick. See if this might be where I want to go. Now let's look at Revelation 14. I'm sorry. Like I said, I just work here. Just follow directions. Y'all were hooked up, right? Because it don't feel like it usually does. I don't know what it is this morning. Do we need to pray? Y'all ain't even answering me. Thank you, April. She don't think we need to. Y'all are just like, oh no. What's that mean? We got to get engaged. You hear what I'm telling you? Because, see, the enemy doesn't want us to know how to reap. He don't care how much we sow. He don't care how much word we sow. Just don't get nothing from the word. Just don't get no results from the word. Right? He don't care if you go to church. Just don't get nothing while you're there that you're going to go out the door and use. So what's that mean? He comes to church more than most Christians. So we have to come in with our hearts. Everybody should have done prayed for this service this morning. And for me and whoever is doing the ministering up here. Why? We need the help. I don't care how good God makes it look and how easy he makes it look whenever you're up here. If he ain't flowing, ain't nothing happening. And if my mind, listen, you should have not put a turkey on before you come if all you're going to do is sit in the service and think about how it might burn. Y'all not saying nothing. eat you something later, eat you a sandwich or something, if that's what you're going to do when you come to church. Why? Because when we come, we must have our hearts and our minds engaged to the Lord, drawing by faith from the Spirit of God. There's people in here and people listening by Facebook and the internet and all. They got real needs and they need real help. And how many knows what you are believing for and releasing out there can help me? God can cause me to say things for you and other people. I never even crossed my mind. But that doesn't happen if we're not engaged. He doesn't flow. Now, do y'all know, remember where I told y'all? Revelation, was it? Yeah, thank you, Lord, I'm already there. See, he's helping us already. Sometimes you just got to stop. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I have to bring my mind back because it'll try to get off on anything and everything. Things that don't even matter. I mean, that's just like you're sitting in church, you know, when you ate breakfast or whatever, but you're thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch. Shut up! We may not even eat anything for lunch. I'll let you know if we're going to eat. I'm talking about my belly. Y'all's belly. I'll let you know if we're going to eat something for lunch or not. You don't tell me of what we're going to eat or when we're going to eat. Do you realize how all this stuff tries to come and bombard? Why? So you don't have a hearing ear. So things just go right past you that somebody else got out of the service or out of the word, and you never even heard it. That's not going to happen to us. We're going to keep our hearts and our minds stayed on the Lord. And what he's wanting to tell us this morning is show us. But here in Revelation 14, I'm going to read verse 14 and 15. And this will be in the Amplified. He says here, "Again I looked, and behold, I saw a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud, one resembling a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle." Remember we just read that over there in Mark 4 about when it gets time to reap, when it gets full grown, he puts in the sickle. He's talking about us right here. When the time gets fulfilled, that all the people gets in that's going to be born again, he's going to put in the sickle. How does he do it? He speaks it. He says, go get them, right? Which is my paraphrasing. But anyway, one resembling a son of man with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle, or scythe, however you say that, sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple sanctuary, calling with a mighty voice to him who was sitting upon the cloud, "Put in your sickle and reap. For the hour has arrived to gather the harvest, for the earth's crop is fully ripened." See, you don't just reap money. You can reap money, you can reap people, you can reap health, all kinds of things. Now, I read that there because of the sickle. Now, let's go to I think I need to tell y'all. No? Let's go to Isaiah 22. Just put it up on the screen for us, Beth. We won't turn there since it's just one verse. And this will be the Amplified. Isaiah 22:22. It says, "And I will place on his shoulder," talking about Jesus, "the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." Now we know over in the book of Revelation too, he said, "I set before you an open door." He said, "I open doors that no man can shut, and I shut doors that no man can open." He says the same thing here in Isaiah. God is saying that to us. Excuse me. Let me tell you why. Now y'all heard me. I told this at the giveaway. God started the week of our last giveaway out here. There was a lady. I was in there. I don't know if I was helping Stacy or if I was doing it at the time. I can't remember. This has been quite a few years ago. Anyway, I was over there in the box room or whatever, and Scotty called me out. There was a lady come through here. Y'all can see them, you know, some of them. You know they're strung out, drugs, all kinds of things, stuff like that. You could tell this lady was. I mean, her hair is just matted up. She don't look like she took a bath in a little while. I mean, she's just rough. You know, I mean, like on the bottom or whatever. Anyway, she'd come in there and brought them in. She'd come in with the rest of them. And I don't even remember what she said to Scotty or whatever. But anyway, Scotty asked me to come out there and pray for her. Well, I'm in a hurry and everything, so I just come out. I don't even remember what I prayed. Something about deliverance, you know, because you could just see it and sense it on the inside. Now, listen, let me tell you something. You cannot pray for people by how they look, because you're only seeing the fruit. But God needs to get to the root, so we have to be led what we pray for people. People can look all real good and like they got it all together, and on the inside they are completely depleted of everything. So you never know. You need to be led when you're praying for people in that prayer circle or wherever you are. Anyway, I prayed some kind of prayer about deliverance, you know, and everything, and I went back over at work, and then the lady went back out. Well, we didn't see her anymore for something like, I think, 2 or 3 months maybe. Now, this lady's probably in her late 40s, maybe early 50s, somewhere around there, or could have been younger, you know, because seeing makes you look bad. And I was like, yeah, it does. Oh, anyway, so we didn't see her for 2 or 3 months. Well, she come to the service one Sunday morning. 2 or 3 months later, she had a grown son, and he drove her over here because she had no car, nowhere to live. She had nothing, you know. And he had brought her to the service. None of us in here even recognized the lady. I mean, she comes in. She's got on a long leather coat, you know. I mean, her hair's all fit. She's gained some weight. I mean, she's looking good. And she stood up, and she testified how that she was the lady out there that we prayed for, and that God, she had gotten saved and delivered, and God had turned her life around, and she wanted to come back and thank us for being here and for praying for her and having a part in her deliverance. That's why we're here. God began to remind me of that. I hadn't thought about that in years, because it's been years and years since it happened. I don't remember how many years. But anyway, the week of the giveaway, God started reminding me, which is the Holy Ghost. That's His job. He brings things to our remembrance. So the Holy Ghost started reminding me of that lady, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I remember that lady, you know. Didn't think much more about it. Well, a few hours goes by, I think about the lady again. Like, yeah, I remember that. Seems to sometimes we're so dumb as dirt. I'm telling you, I have to pray the Holy Ghost help me all the time. When I'm at the grocery store, I'm praying, Holy Ghost, help me remember everything I need to get. And if I don't remember it, help me know that that's what I need. You know, every day, I mean, I live this way. But anyway, that kept coming to me about that lady. And I could just see her, you know, and the whole thing that I just told you and everything. So after about the second or third day, I'm like, hey, boing, you know, there's something to this. So I start thinking about her. I start thinking about rehearsing what happened, you know, and her coming back and all this stuff. And I started meditating on it and thinking about it, you know, and asking and praying about it. And Lord, well, why do you keep bringing this up to me? What do you want me to see? Why am I telling you, going so into detail? Because so many people, God brings up something to you. God brings you a scripture. God, the Holy Ghost reminds you of something or whatever. And you're like, huh, yeah, that's good. I remember. And you let it go. See, the Bible talks about, I believe it's in Proverbs, how that God will conceal a matter, but it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to what? Y'all remember that scripture? Search it out, or seek it out. Why does He do that? To a means of revelation. Everybody don't get it. So when this stuff starts happening to you, when a scripture keeps coming to you or something keeps coming up to your remembrance, or something, start praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to say to me in this? And some people would say, well, if God wants to tell me something, He will. No. He doesn't work on our schedule. We work on His. Hello. And He hides things so everybody don't see them. That's why He told them in one place, He says, they desire to see what you see and to hear what you hear, but they do not. Why? Not everybody sees. Not everybody hears. That's the whole thing of this parable. Wayside ground, somebody can say it over and over, and they never even heard it. So when God starts doing this stuff, pay attention. It took me years to learn that little simple thing right there. Pay attention, Teresa. Seek the Lord about it. Pray about it. Ask Him, why are you doing this? What do you want me to see? Well, lo and behold, to make a long story short, and y'all are like, no, we're dragging this one out, ain't we? But anyway, I was praying about that, and God, you know, why does this keep coming up? Why do I keep thinking about her and everything? Because God told me after praying and seeking Him about it, He said, it's time in the giveaway for this church to reap the harvest. Y'all should be way more excited. See, I don't know about y'all, but And I have before, but it's like God is telling me to tell y'all that this church, it's time to reap the harvest of that giveaway. We have sowed word. We have sowed prayer. We have sold food, clothes, knickknacks, whatnot, shoes, kitchen. I mean, all kinds of stuff. We have sowed, and we have sowed, and we have reaped a little bit, just like the lady, her deliverance, and later on she got saved and all that kind of stuff. And other people, they get food and different things. But God is saying, it's time to put in the sickle of that giveaway. Why it's the giveaway, I don't know. And listen, don't start thinking that he's talking about, okay, they're going to all get saved and start going to church here. That is not what he said. See, everybody's not called to be here. I've noticed the last couple times when I left the giveaway that the church out here, what is the name? Church of Blountsville? Church at Blountsville, is that the name of that? Yeah, the church at Blountsville, I think is the name of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right here by the pawn shop. Y'all looking at me real weird. Hello, go to the red light and turn left. It's right there. But anyway, I mean, it's what, two places from the red light. But anyway, I noticed they're having their giveaway on the same day that we do. I see some of the same people that are sitting out there in their cars that just come from here that are going over there. Now, I told you when we started this, nobody was doing it that I know of here in Blountsville. But now I think every church does it. And that's good. You know, whatever the Lord tells them to do. But so why am I bringing that up? One sows. One waters. But all the while, it's God that's giving the increase, giving the increase, giving the... Because see, no man comes to the Father according to Scripture lest he's dropped. But it's God. One is planting. One church is planting. One church is watering. God's giving the increase. God's giving the increase. And when God is saying it's time to put in the sickle, time to harvest from the fruit, from the giveaway, what's that mean? They are ripe for the pickings. God knows when they're ripe. I don't know when they're ripe. I don't know when they're ready to be picked. But he said they are ready to be picked. Now let's look at, I think Luke 10. Is where I want to go. Listen, we have had people come here that was backslidden and not going to church. And what God done, God just used us to get them back in right relationship with the Lord and help them grow a little bit, and then they went back to where God had originally sent them. Everybody's not called to go to church here. Just like, you know, we may be the ones that we've sowed and they've watered or whatever, and we may reap the harvest or whatever, but doesn't mean necessarily they're going to stay here. They're going to go wherever God tells them to go. You understand? And I'm not just talking about souls. I'm talking about God is saying it is time for healings, for miracles, for salvations, and all of that. Look here in Luke 10, verse 1. He says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Hello. Told y'all you're getting out of your comfort zone. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Now the Amplified Bible says it this way, and he said unto them, the harvest indeed is abundant. There is much ripe grain. See, they looked out and they thought harvest time was coming later. Jesus looks out and discerns. You hear what I'm telling you? Every born-again believer, you have discernment on the inside of you. Now, I've heard people say the gift of discernment. There is no gift of discernment. When you go over there, it's called the gift of discerning of spirits. Every born-again believer, it's not a gift. You have the discernment of God on the inside of you. Some are just better at it because they've exercised it more. There is much ripe grain, but the farm hands, we are the farm hands, are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We don't even got to go out there. God is sending them here. Now look at... Say, what is that other one? Let's look at John 4, I think, now, maybe. Verse 34. I'm going to read this in Amplified. Jesus said to them, "My food or nourishment is to do the will, pleasure of him who sent me, and to accomplish and completely finish his work. Do you not say it is still 4 months until harvest time comes?" In the natural. Now he knows he's not looking in the natural. He says, "Look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how they are already white for harvesting. Already the reaper is getting his wages. He who does the cutting now has his reward, for he is gathering fruit or a crop unto life eternal, so that he who does the planting and he who does the reaping may rejoice together." He says, "For in this the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps." Listen, we are going to reap a harvest that we didn't even pray for. What do I mean by that? People that was here before us that prayed and sowed seeds and watered, and now we're going to reap from where they have sown. Y'all don't understand what I'm talking about? Just like your praying grandmothers. Oh, y'all not saying nothing. Grandmothers that have prayed and interceded for their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, that had they not stood in the gap for them, they probably would not be born again today, would not have went to heaven when they passed this life. What is that? Sowing. Putting the word on. Putting faith out there. Watering. And God is saying it's time for the harvest. Go and pick the harvest of this giveaway. Now let's look here at, I've got a whole lot of time left. Let's look here at Matthew 16. What do I mean by this is going to get you out of your comfort zone? Y'all be ready down there and be prayed up when you get here. Now, we should always be prayed up. But be ready and be prayed up when we're out here or we're down there. Why? Because down there, it's going to be you guys that reaps in the harvest. What's that mean? I don't know. God may prompt you to speak a word to somebody. God may prompt you to pray for somebody. Why? Because he's wanting the harvest to come. See, I got to tell you this part too. There was a lady that come in the giveaway. I think the first time I seen her was last month. She may have been here before then, but sometimes I have to work on the inside so I don't see them. But anyway, I remember seeing her last month. And she wanted an extra box, and a lot of people asked us for extra boxes. You know, sometimes they're lying, and sometimes they're telling the truth. Somebody needs it or whatever. But policy is, because we have all these people in line, we have to give out all of these that are in line before we send any extra anywhere. Or people that work here gets in. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Why? Because if you ain't got food, it's this church's responsibility to help you, but that's the giveaway's food. Do you hear what I said? So anyway, this lady, she come. I remember seeing her last month. She came this month, and she asked for extra, and I told her again, you know, "I'm sorry, but we can't, you know, we have to get all these people that are in line behind you, you know, make sure we have enough, because we only have a certain amount," which usually we always have some left over. But now God set it up. We help another ministry with what we have left, because they have a giveaway and they got cut off. But anyway, she comes on the inside. Now, see, I didn't know this part. Scotty told me this part, but I knew what the Lord was saying. She comes on the inside and everything, and she starts talking about her daughter is on crack. And what is it? She's raising her 2 granddaughters. Is that what it was? 13 and something, I think. Anyway, how she's raising her 2 granddaughters, and I don't think she has a husband or whatever, because her daughter is on crack and all that, and they're teenagers and all of that and everything. And Scotty told her, he said, "Okay," he said, "we're here to mix our faith with yours. We can't do everything for them. There's laws that governs prayer and things coming. And if you don't operate within those laws, you don't receive." So he tells her, "Okay, we're going to pray. We're going to mix our faith with yours. You know, we're going to believe God. She's going to be delivered, and we'll hear the testimony and all that." Long story short, I don't know what all he told her. Anyway, while she's in here, I don't know all this is going on. While she's in here, I feel it on the inside of here. Give her the other box that she asked for. And I thought, "Oh, gosh, Lord, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm not supposed to be doing this. You know, I just work here, follow orders, and all of that, you know." Which if I told Scotty I felt led, he would be okay with that, you know, or whatever. So anyway, I tell you guys to put her another box in the vehicle with her. So she comes out, and I tap her on the shoulder, and I told her, I said, hey, I said, I might get in trouble. I don't know. I said, but I put you an extra box in there. She said, thank you. God knows what she needed. And God, if her faith is out there, is going to provide for her. So we have to be led, even if there are rules or whatever. Why am I telling you this? Because it is the same thing with the other lady. When Scotty told me that story, I knew there was something about the lady when she walked up. I didn't know what. But when Scotty told me the story whenever he got home or whatever about what the lady was saying, her daughter on crack and all that, gonna mix our faith, I'm telling you right now, you mark my words. Either that girl is going to come in the giveaway or her mama is going to tell us the testimony. She will be delivered. I know it on the inside of here like it's cement. I cannot get it out. Have I told you lately my brother's at home, sleeping in his own bed in my mama's house? That's how strongly I feel that. Why? Because it's God that lets us know when it's time to read. And God knows where she's at. And God knows whether or not he's been dealing with her. And see, somebody else could have been sowing all this time and watered, but God sent her here to mix our faith with hers. Why? Because it's time to reap that girl. Now, look here at Matthew 16, because I just got a few minutes left here. Matthew 16, I think I want to start in verse 18, but let me look at it. Yeah, y'all know the story. The verses before this is where Jesus asked his disciples, who does men say I am? Peter gets the revelation from God that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And tells him, you know, that God gave him that. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee, talking about Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, he's not talking about Peter being the rock. He's talking about the revelation of who Jesus is, the Christ. He goes on and he says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, y'all better hear what I said, shall not prevail against it. He goes on and he says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, glory to God, of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, what God binds? Are y'all awake? What God binds? No, what we bind. See, sometimes when we're reading, we have a preconceived thing, so we don't read it the way it says it. He says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now listen to that 18 in the Amplified. And I tell you, you are Peter, Greek Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it. And that's where most people stop. But listen, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against it. Did y'all hear what that just said? What this means is God's saying the harvest is ready. He says, whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose. So what are we to do when God is telling us, go reap the harvest of those people? Go reap the harvest of their healings. Because see, if they're not born again, they're bound by the powers of darkness and hell. By the enemy. They're bound. What's it say there? The devil can't keep us out. His gates can't keep them locked in. Why? Because it shall not prevail against the church, and it cannot hold out against an attack of us. Y'all should be jumping up and down. I'm telling you. This is so exciting to me. Why? Because, see, these people have been bound. So now what do? We pray. We bind. We loose. That's why I told y'all, I think it was Wednesday night, whenever Johnny was up here, that I told y'all a little bit about that story. And God said, demand it. Then we're not demanding it from him, because he's the one said, go do it. It's his will they be loosed. It's his will they be born again. It's his will they be set free from drugs and alcohol and all kinds of addiction, just darkness. It's his will. Who are we demanding? The devil and all his cohorts. Turn them loose. Did you hear what I said? And you use your faith. Why? This is his word, and he's speaking it to us. A word as good as it's seasoned. And he's telling us right now, I don't know why he's talking about the giveaway and not These out here, I have no idea. But I know that's what he's saying. So whenever we get to the next giveaway, y'all be ready. Y'all will have bounded. Y'all will have loosed the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to be talking to these people, be dealing with these people, that they are ripe for the pickings and give us the right things to do and the right words to say to reap that harvest. Why? Because God says it's time. He wants them free. And guess what? We are the laborers right now that's going to do it, so it may put you out of your comfort zone. You may be like, well, I never taught nothing before. I don't say anything. Well, if he tells you, you better. And listen, the good thing about it is you're going to be blessed. You're going to see what happens, and then you'll also get rewarded for the things that we do, for reaping the harvest. So I've got to stop because time is up. But let me read that one more time. I can't help it. I like saying that to the devil. I'm just telling you, it makes me feel good. I can't stand him. 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, Greek Petros, a large piece of rock, and on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower. Overpower what? The church! Not an individual, the church, the body. He says, or be strong to its detriment, and this is my favorite part, or hold out against it. I like just telling it, we're coming. We're coming. Because one thing about me that I could tell you, because we play cards and different things down there, I have to tell them nearly every time. April's laughing already. Now I'm full of hot air, but they don't know it. I guess they do now. But I'll tell them. One time they thought I was talking about spiritually. I said, y'all know I got to whoop y'all, don't you? And they're thinking spiritually. And they're like, got to whoop us? What are you going to do to us? I said, no, not spiritually. This game. I'm like Aiden. I got to win. I got to. And Johnny, they don't never let me. You would think, being the pastor's wife, you would show me some appreciation and let me win. But no. I think somebody made me pull 8 cards, you know, last time. That's just sorry. But my point to all that, not getting off on that, my point is I love to tell the devil, you have lost. You have lost. Oh, and he can't stand it. Anytime he's around, just start reminding him of his future. Oh, your time's running out, devil. Tick tock, tick tock. It's almost here. This thing's about to be wrapped up. So I want to encourage y'all, let's do what the Lord said, and we will reap the harvest. Then we'll get more laborers in here, and let's see what God does. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share or say quickly before we close? All right, we'll recess till 11.